The Promise, Part 2, by Stephen Jacobson. Narrated by Chris Jenkins, for Saga. 2. Behind the sunglasses, Nina's eyes narrowed as she stared towards Kongen's Nytorv. She zoomed in on a man who hurriedly crossed the street, about 100 yards away. Nina swore silently, retreating around the corner and out of sight. Grey ponytail, well-fitting suit, shiny boots, white open-neck shirt. Her breathing grew faster as memories evoked pain in different regions of her body. Forgotten places drew attention to themselves, Nina's abdomen in particular. She gasped, almost sinking to her knees. Carlo's favourite hangman. He was known as Lazarus within the organisation, and Nina had never really understood why. The name was whispered among the girls. The name made the youngest of them whimper and squeak like kittens. Nina had tried to find out from Carlo who Lazarus was and where he came from a few times. In the few moments when Carlo was drained, sated and intoxicated enough, or high on the finest coke or heroin the market could procure. Those moments when their time together resembled something that might well be called normal. But each time Carlo's face closed like a fist, and he'd either stared up at the ceiling above their bed, or straight through her. And he never answered. A couple of the older traffickers whose hatred and lust had almost burnt out had smiled at the questions while she had their stiff cocks in their mouth, and they'd stroke her hair almost lovingly.
Lazarus? I don't know. Some say he was shot in the head and lay unconscious in a field in Tuscany for 3 days, but then was resurrected from the dead, like Lazarus.
Then they had leaned back, closed their eyes and told her, with all the affection they could muster, that a man could die happy after one of her blowjobs. The last time she saw Lazarus, she was at one of Carlo's theatrical and closely choreographed orgies in an abandoned water tower outside Kiev. From a strut up under the ceiling hung a naked black prostitute with her hands tied behind her back and her head down. Lazarus handed out riding crops to a group of Russian gentlemen so that they could have fun watching the girl twist and bleed, while Nina stood naked in stocks being fucked from behind by an energetic Fiat air as others waited in line. Between each round, Carlo rinsed her pussy with Veuve Clicquot champagne and passed around cocaine like the waiter at a themed restaurant.
Lazarus in Breadgate?
Then Carlo wasn't far away. She leapt 2 feet in the air when she felt a hand on her shoulder. Carlo looked at her, her eyes wide.
Calm down. What's wrong, Nina? Are you okay?
Nina blinked hard. Then she marshalled a little smile.
I was just surprised. I'm exhausted. You know, forget Burger King. I just want to see where you live.
Despite them not having seen each other for years, there was nothing wrong with Clara's intuition. She drove slowly out of the backyard, which gave her a chance to study her sister's face. There were shadows in her bright eyes and drops of sweat beaded on her forehead, even though she appeared to be in fantastic physical shape. Nina lay down rather than sat in the seat and shielded her face from the side window with her hand.
Is there anything you need? Clara asked, her tone light. Toothbrush, clothes, underwear?
A phone, mumbled Nina hoarsely. I really need a phone. I've hardly any money at the moment. That's the last thing you need to worry about. I've plenty of money. More than enough for both of us. Nina looked at her.
You do?
I'm rolling in it. I started working for other galleries in Brun Rasmussen, and it turned out I'm a natural at finding young and cheap artists that I just know will make it big. Nina put a hand on her sister's forearm and smiled.
That's brilliant.
Good thing one of us was able to figure things out.
Yeah, right?
Little Carla from Ishoy. And from such a cultivated home. They laughed together. Their parents' perception of fine art had been the pseudo-art of three-legged cows grazing in a psychedelic sunset from Tromsøen in Copenhagen.